B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Yuma Daf Yud. We're going to start 10 lines from the top of the Omud. In the Gemara before this, the Gemara was learning about different people, different places, and the Gemara spoke about the children of Yefes, and now the Gemara is continuing with that theme. Says the Gemara, another Pasuk, Uvnei Kush, who are the children of Kush? The Pasuk says, Svo v'chavilo v'savto v'ramo v'savtocho, so we have two names amongst the children of Cush, which are very, very similar. Savta and Savtacha. So the Gemara is going to discuss that. Savta, Verama, Vesavtacha. Tony Rav Yosef says, Rav Yosef, Sakiston Gavioso, Vesakiston Brioso. There was a single type of place. It was a place called Sakiston, but there were two of them. There was an inner one, and there was an outer one that was circling the inner one. And that was the two places. One was called Savta, and one was called Savtacha. Bein Choda L'Choda, between the two of them, Meo Parasi, there were 100 Parasa, which is a distance. Vehekefa, and the circumference of the outer one, Alpha Parasi, was 1,000 Parasa. Continues the Gemara, another Pasuk. Vatihi reishis mamlachtoi bovel v'erech v'akad v'chalno be'eretz shinor. The Gemara is going to explain that. Bovel. What was Bovel? Kamashmo. Exactly for what it is. Babylonian. Erech. What is Erech? Zu oirichus. And I imagine these are places which in the time of the Gemara people knew where oirichus was, and the Gemara was telling us this is Erech mentioned in the Pasuk. V'akad. Zo Bishchor, Kalne, what's Kalno? Ze Neufer Ninfi. Continues the Gemara another Pasuk. Min Ha'oret Zahi, from that place, Yotza Ashur, Ashur left. Ashur did not want to get swallowed up by the negative behaviors of the Doira Flogger, those that went against Hashem under the instruction of Nimrod. So Ashur actually ran away from that place. And he built a number of places. He built as Ninve, as Rehovo, as Ir, as Kolach, as Resen, bein Ninve or bein Kolach, hi ho ira gedoila. Those are two psukim mentioned over there. So the Gemara says that Ashur ze Silek, the place that Ashur built and went to, was a place called Silek. Vayiven as Ninve, as Rehovo, as Ir, as Kelach, as Kolach. He built these three places, Ninveh, Rehoveh, Seir, and Kolach. So the Gemara says, Ninveh kamashmoy, Ninveh is Ninveh. Rehoveh, Seir, ze poras de Mishon, another place. Kelach, zu poras de Burusif. Continues the Gemara. The next pasuk we mentioned, Ve'esresen bin Ninveh, ubein Kolach, hi ho'ir ha'gedoilo. When it says, hi ho'ir ha'gedoilo, this is the very great or very large city. But the Pasuk mentions three, Resen, Ninveh, and Kelach. So if it would be referring to Kelach, then it would have said, Kelach ho'ir ha'gedoila. So we know that he, if it says again he, it is, we assume it's not Kelach. The question is of the other two, which one was the ir ha'gedoila? So Gemara says, Resen zu akatifspun. Hi ho'ir ha'gedoila. When it says, hi ho'ir ha'gedoila, ein yodea, I don't know. Im Ninveh ho'ir ha'gedoila, is it Ninveh that's referred to a big city? Im Resen ho'ir ha'gedoila, or is it Resen that is the big city? Keshoimir, when you look in another Pasuk, in Yoino, where the Pasuk says, Vayokam Yoino vayelech el Ninveh kidvar Hashem, v'Ninveh ho'iso ir gedoila leilukim mahalach shleishes yomim, the Pasuk there explicitly attributes Ninveh as being a big city, an ir ha'gedoila. Havoimer, so we assume that when the Pasuk mentioned earlier, Ninveh hi ir ha'gedoila, it's Ninveh which is the ir ha'gedoila and not Resen. Continues the Gemara on a similar theme. Vishom, it says that Kolev went Vayalu Vanegev Vayovoy at Chevron, he came to a place called Chevron. Vishom in Chevron, there was Achimon Sheshai Vitalmai, Yelide Anok, they were offspring of the giant. Vechevron Shevashonim Nivna Solifne Tsoyar Mitzrayim. That's the Pasuk. So the Gemara is now going to explain why these three giants, or the children, the offspring of the giant, had these names. Vishom Achimon Sheshai Vitalma Yelide Anok, says the Gemara Tana. Achimon what was unique about Achimon and why was he called Achimon? Because he was the Meyumon, the most powerful Sheba'achim from amongst the three brothers. And the word Achimon has something in common with Achim, similar letters, and he was the most powerful from amongst them. Sheishai, why was Sheishai called Sheishai? She mesim es ha'oret kishchisois, because wherever he was walking, he was so huge and heavy, wherever he would walk, would turn into ruins. Talmai, why was Talmai called Talmai? She mesim es ha'oret tlomim tlomim, and he would walk, every step he would take would make a furrow, would make a dent in the floor, and the floor would become full of furrows. That's why Talmai was called Talmai. Achimon bono Anos. Achimon built a place called Anos. Sheishai bono Alush. Sheishai built a place called Alush. Talmai bono Talvush. And Talmai built a place called Talbush. Yelidei Anok. Why are these three called the offspring of the giant? So of course in Pshat, they were the offspring of the giant. But what's the drosh? What are we going to learn from that? Shema'anikin hachamo b'koymoson. They were so tall that when the people would look at the sun and see the sun relative to these giants, it would be like ma'anikin. It would look as if the sun is a necklace worn around the head, on the neck of these giants. That's how tall they were. Continues the Gemara. Omer Bishua ben Levi Omer Rebbe. Who said in the name of Rebbe, Asido Roimi Shatipoil Biat Peres, Rome is going to fall into the hands of Persia. Shenemar, it says in the Posuk, Lochein Shimu Atas Hashem, this is the advice of Hashem, Ashe Yoatz El Edoim, Umachshavoisov Ashe Choshav El Yoishvei Simon. And Simon is an offspring of Esav, is also associated to Edoim. Im lo yischavum tzirei tzoin, which means that the people considered tzirei tzoin, and tzirei tzoin, we'll soon see why, but tzirei tzoin here is referring to Persia, they would be yischavum, they would drag them off, they would drag Edoim and Talmai and Taimon away. So you see from there that Rome, which is Edoim, was going to fall into the hands of Persia. Im lo yosim aleim noyam, and these tzirei tzoin, the Persians, are going to cause devastation to the dwellings of Taimon and Edoim. Maskif lo Rabbi Bar Ula. Rabbi Bar Ula asked now a question. My mashma dahai tzirei tzoin. The tzirei tzoin means the youngest of the flock. What makes you think that this is referring to Poras? My mashma dahai tzirei tzoin porasu, obviously, because we have a posuk. There's another posuk somewhere that attributes Persia to a sheep. Tichsiv, it says in the posuk, ho'ayi lashor iso, the ram that you saw, balakronaim, the one that had horns, malchei modai uporas, was referring to and alluding to, this was in the dream that Daniel had, was alluding to the kings of Modai and Poras. So you see that Modai and Poras are called an ayil, a ram, which is amongst the flock. So that's why Rabbi Ba'ullah assumed that that's why Rebbe understood that Tzirei Tzoin is Persia. However, he asked a question, Ve'im Yovon, but I've got a different posuk that will tell us that Greece is compared to an animal amongst the flock. So maybe the posuk here is teaching us that Edom and Taimon are going to fall into the hands of Greece, not into the hands of Persia. That was Rabbi Bar Ula's question. Where do we see that Yovon is considered one of the flock? Duchsiv, it says in the posuk, Va'tzofir hasoyer, the male of the goats, Melech Yovon, referring to the king of Greece. So that's a very good question that Rabbi Bar Ula asked against Rebbe. Kisolik Rav Chaviva Bar Surmaki, when Rav Chaviva Bar Surmaki came from Bovel to Eretz Yisrael, Omro Kameida Umirabonon, he said over this question that Rabbi Bar Ula posed against Rebbe to the Chachomim. Omar Le, and the response to him was, Mandelo Yoda Prushei Kroi Moisiv Tiufta. It seems that Rabbi Bar Ula wasn't proficiently expert in understanding how to understand the psukim, and he's asking a question. L'Rebbe Mai Tzirei Tzoin Zutra Adachoi. The Rebbe understood that the word Tzirei Tzoin means the youngest amongst the brothers, and we already mentioned earlier on the top of the Amud, it says there that Ubnei Yefes, amongst the children of Yefes, there was Goimer, Mogoig, Modai, V'Yovan, V'Tuval, Umeshech, V'Tiros. Tiros was the youngest child. The Tani Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, we saw this before, Tiras is Uporas, that Tiras is Persia. So since the youngest amongst the children of Yefes is Tiros, which is Persia, that is the Tzirei HaTzoin. And therefore, when the Pasuk says that Taimon and Edom are going to fall to the Tzirei HaTzoin, that's where Rebbe knew that they would fall in the hands of the Persians. Continues the Gemara, Omer Rabbe Barbar, Ula Omer, Rabbi Yechanon, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Barbi Loi, Asida Roimi, Rome is going to fall, Shatipoel Biad Poras, it is going to fall to the hands of Persia. Kal v'chomer, it's a kal v'chomer. Uma Migdosh Rishon, the first base of Migdosh Bano Ibnei Shem, that the descendants of Shem built, which was Shlema Melech, Ve'echrivu Kazdim, and it was the Kazdim, it was Bovel, that destroyed it. Noflu Kazdim. Kazdim was Belshazzar, and that was also that was Bovel, and the Kazdim, the Bovel, fell Biyat Parasim, fell in the hands of Daryovish, the king of Modai, and Koresh, the king of Poras. So over there, where Persia didn't build the first Beis HaMikdash, it was Shlomo that built the first Beis HaMikdash, and nonetheless, those that destroyed it, Bovel, fell into the hands of the Persian, the Mikdash Sheni Shebanoi Parasim, even more so, the second Beis HaMikdash, which was built by the Parasim themselves, it was only with the Hishtadlis of Koresh, who was the king of Poras, that the second Beis HaMikdash could be built. And it was the Romans who destroyed it. Of course the Romans are going to fall to the hands of the Parasim. And if even the Babylonians that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash that the Persians didn't build, the Babylonians fell into the hands of Persia, then of course the Romans who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash that the Persians themselves helped to build, of course they would fall into the hands of the Persians. Continues the Gemara, Omar Rav, Asida Poras, ultimately the Persians are going to fall, Shetipil Biadroimi are going to fall to the hands of Rome. Omru Lerav Kahana, Rav Asi Lerav, they said to Rav, Bonuye Biad Sture, does it really make sense that the builders of the second Beis HaMikdash, namely Persia, are going to fall into the hands of those that destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash, the Romans? Omer Lehu, so Rav answered back, in, yes, Gzeiras Melechi. And we're going to soon see, it's learned from a Pasuk, but Gzeiras Melech, that is what Hashem decreed, and don't try and understand it. Ikad Omer, others say, Omer Lehu, in hu nami hokososri beiknishta. Don't think that the Persians, they were such big tzaddikim, and they were just builders, and it doesn't make sense that builders should fall into the hands of those that destroy. No, they themselves also destroyed. It's true that they helped build the Beis HaMikdash, but they destroyed the shuls. And therefore, it's not such a question that they themselves will fall to the hands of the Romans. Tani nami achi, we learnt in a braisa, asida poras shetipel biad roimi, Persia would fall to the hands of roimi, Choda, for one of the reasons is desosri beiknishta, because they would destroy the shuls, v'oid, and the second reason is gzeiras melechu, that means over here we see clearly in a braisa both answers that Rav said before, that gzeiras melechu sheyiplu boinov biyad soisrin, it's a gzeira decree from Hashem that those that built the Beis HaMikdash would fall into the hands of those that destroyed it. Domer v'yudomar Rav. And we actually have a pasuk, and the Mefarshim seem to say that this is where the Gzeiras HaMelech was, and they even want to explain that if there would be a decree specifically against Poras, it would be a good question. How can Poras fall to the hands of the Romans? Poras built the Beis HaMikdash, the Romans destroyed it. But now we're going to see that the Romans are going to have the control of the entire world. And since Poras is part of the world, they would also be subjugated and fall to the hands of the Romans. But it was not a decree that was directed specifically at Poras, and therefore it's not a question. What does it say in the Pasuk? Ein ben David bo, Mashiach will only come, acha tifshait malchus roimi, harasha, the evil control of roimi, of Rome, would spread out, b'kolo ilam kuloi, on the entire world. And this Pasuk, it's clear that even Persia, which is part of the world, would fall to the hands of Malchus Roimi Harashah. How long will Rome reign for? Tisha Chadashim, for 9 months, Shnema, as it says in the Pasuk, Lochein Yitneim Ad Eis Yoleido, Yolodo, that they would be surrendered to Rome for the amount of time that a woman prepares for birth, which is 9 months. Yolodo v'yeser echov yeshuvun al bnei Yisrael, and after the birth, I mean, at the end of 9 months, Mashiach would come with all the other brothers, and all the rest of Klal Yisrael would come back to Eretz Yisrael. Continues the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanon, kol halishkois, all the chambers shayu b'mikdash loy hoyo lehen mezuzah. There was no mezuzah on any of the chambers in the Beis HaMikdash, and we would assume it's because people didn't live there. Things were stored there, but it was not actually used to as a domestic place, as a place to live in and to dwell in. Chutz milishkas parhedrin, besides for this one lishka that we're familiar with, where the Kohen Gadol would be there for a full 7 days before Yom Kippur, shahaya ba beis dira, because that was a there was residence there, le Kohen Gadol, for the Kohen Gadol. Omer Biuda. Rabbi Yehuda commented and said, there were a number of other chambers that were occasionally used as residents. However, the only one of those chambers that were used, that were used and had a mezuzah, was only the Lishkas Parhedrin. And Gezeira Hoysa. And that was a special decree, that was something unique about the Lishkas Parhedrin, that it needed a mezuzah. But the other chambers, even though they were used as a beis dira, that was not a good enough reason that it would need a mezuzah. My Talmud, Rabbi Yehuda. What is this gezeira? Before we get to the gezeira, why does Rabbi Yehuda say that all the other chambers didn't have a mezuzah? And that's before we understand what the gzeira was by the Lishkas HaParhedrin. But Omar Rabba explained that the reason that all the others did not have a mezuzah is because Rabbi Yehuda holds kol bayis she'ene osu le'moisa chama, any home which is not used also in the summer, v'li moisa geshomim, and in the winter, eino bayis, is not considered a bayis, a home. If it's not considered a home, there's no chiyuv to put on a mezuzah. So the Tanakhama understood the reason that the Lishkas HaParhedrin had the mezuzah was because it was a beis dira. Rabbi Yehuda said that was not the reason, because there were many other chambers that would have fitted that description and they didn't have a mezuzah. And the reason that none of the chambers had a mezuzah was, including the Lishkas HaParhedrin, was also exempt for the same reason, was because it was not used for the whole year. Why does their mezuzah by the Lishkas HaParhedrin was not because it was a beis dira and therefore in Hilchas mezuzah it needed a mezuzah? No. It was a gzeira ha'isa, which we don't yet know what it is. There was a separate decree, make sure that the Lishkas HaParhedrin has a mezuzah. That's how Rabba explained the machleikus. Eisve Abaya. Abaya is now questioning against Rabba. Sukkah isachag. We know that there's a halacha that regarding Maiser, that if a person wants to temporarily taste a bit of some produce without taking Maiser, it's allowed all the while that the produce has not come into the home. And this is learned from a pasuk, Bi'arati HaKodesh Min HaBayis. The question is, what's considered a home? So the Mishnah there, so Abai is asking from this Mishnah in Maiseris that says, Sukkah is HaChag, a sukkah on Sukkos, B'chag, only for the duration of Sukkos, Rabbi Yehuda Mechayev. Rabbi Yehuda says it's called a house, and therefore bringing Maiser into the Sukkah, at least over Sukkos, is considered as if the produce is seen the Pnei Abayis, and you're not allowed to eat any of it without taking Maisers. The Chachomim say a Sukkah is not considered a Bayis, but we're focusing primarily on Rabbi Yehuda. So Abai is asking, how can you, Rabbi, say that Rabbi Yehuda says that none of the chambers that were a beis dira, they had residence, but they all didn't need a mezuzah? Why? Because it's not used for the summer and the winter. And Lishkas HaParhedrin is a separate gezeira. So Abai is questioning Rabba. That can't be true. Here we see clearly Rabbi Yehuda, at least in the halachas of Maisa, learns that sukkah is considered a bais. And a sukkah is not used the whole year, it's used for 1 week of the year. But Tanya lo, we learned in a braisa, on the annex to this Mishnah, there's a braisa. Rabbi Yehuda Mechayev, Rabbi Yehuda says a sukkah is called a bayis, not only regarding Maisa, but regarding three halachas. Number one, be'eruv. We know every home that is part of a chotzer has to join the eruv. We had a whole mesechta about that, meseches eruvin. So if you have a sukkah over sukkahs, which is joined, which is in a chotzer, and you want to make an eruv to be able to carry from the homes into the chatzar, into the courtyard, the, according to Rabbi Huda, this is called a bayis, and they have to join the Eruv. Uba mezuzah, it's also called a bayis regarding mezuzah. Uba meiser, as we saw in the Mishnah, that if you bring produce into this sukkah, then it's considered the re'iyas p'nei abayis, and you have to take meisers. So you see clearly, this is Abaye's question against Rabba, that a sukkah is considered a bayis according to Rabbi Huda, even though it's only used 1 week a year. V'chitema, are you going to suggest that Rabbi Huda is talking about minatayra? Minatayra, anything which is not used for Yemois HaGeshomim and Yemois HaChametz, not used the whole year, that's potter. And over here, this braisa is talking about midrabbonon, that the rabbonon said that you should put a mezuzah and take maisa and join the eruv even from something, from a type of dwelling place which is not used a whole year. This is Abaye suggesting an answer for Rabba against the question Abaye asked him. So Abaye says that would pass bishleima eruv. As far as the eruv, to say the Chachamim said midrabbonon, it's minatayra, it's not called, or according to the halachas of eruvin, it could be that a sukkah is not called a bayis. However, the halachas, the Chachamim said that be machmir and join the eruv anyway. Mezuzah also, it could be minatayra, this is not called a bayis. You don't need a mezuzah, do a mezuzah anyway. But ikalameimam midrabbonon, you can say that midrabbonon, there's a chiyuv. Elomaiser, but does it make sense that the Chachomim would say that midrabbonon is a chiyuv to take maaser once the produce comes into the sukkah? Mi'ikel meimar midrabbonon. How can you say there's a chiyuv midrabbonon? Because people will make a mistake, and people will think that the reason that you have to take maasers now before eating, even arai, is because sukkah is called a bayis. And they're going to confuse the status of the bayis of sukkah to the status of bayis from a regular home that's used the whole year. And then what will happen? They'll think that the level of chiyuv, of trumas, of the produce in the house and the produce in the sukkah is the same. Dilma osi l'ifrushe min achiyuv al aptur, or min aptur al achiyuv. They might take maisa from one onto the other, and you can't do that. Because min atayra, the sukkah is, according to Rabbi Huda, the sukkah is not considered a bayis, according to Rabba's understanding. Because you don't use it the whole year. So it's not chiyuv maisa. So if you're going to separate some maisa from produce which is chayiv in maisa and want to exempt these fruits, it won't be valid. And the same the other way around. You're going to take maisa from these, from the produce in the sukkah, thinking it's going to work and exempt and remove the status of tevel from the produce in the house. That's also not going to work because minat Torah, the produce in the sukkah, is not chayiv yet to take maisa. So Abaye says, from the very fact that you see here in a braisa, that Rabbi Huda says that by a sukkah, there's a chiyuv of eruv, mezuzah, and maisa, it must be that it's called bayis min haTorah. If it's called bayis min haTorah, even though there's not, it's not lived in a whole year, it's not liyemois hachama v'liyemois hageshomim. So you see clearly that even Rabbi Huda has to agree that it doesn't need to be lived in a whole year in order to be considered bias. If so, Rabba's explanation has been refuted, and we now have to understand why those chambers, according to Rabbi Huda, why indeed do those chambers, all the other chambers in the Beis Hamikdash that have a dwelling place, why are they exempt from mezuzah? So Abaye is going to give his explanation. Ela Omar Abaye, Abaye says, b'shiva, those 7 days that this chamber, or that any chamber is used and is dwelled in, d'kule alma l'pliki d'mechayva. Everyone agrees, you're chayiv, like we just saw now. You don't need to have to be there for a whole year, or it doesn't need to be fit to be used a whole year, in order for it to be chayiv and be considered a bayis min haTorah. Whilst you're in there, you have to put a mezuzah. So what's the machlekes between Rabbi Huda, the Tanakama, and Rabbi Huda? Ki pligi b'shari mois hashana. The question is the rest of the year. Rabbonon sovri. The Rabbonon say that the rest of the year, that this parhedrin is, since it's considered a base dira, there's a chiyuv in hilchas mezuzah. Make sure that all year round you keep the mezuzah on the lishkas parhedrin, because otherwise, if you don't, maybe when you come to use the Lishkas HaParhedrin that week before Yom Kippur, you'll forget to put mezuzah on. Keep it there the whole year. Keep, that's the machlekes. The Tanakama say that Rabbonon Sovra Gozrinon Shayim Mois HaShono Otu Shiva. Because you chayv mezuzah 7 days, put a mezuzah there the whole year to make sure that you don't forget to have the mezuzah there for those 7 days. Rabbi Yehuda says no. He says, Lei gozrinon, we don't make a gezerah. That means the reason you need a mezuzah is not because it's sometimes chayiv mezuzah, and therefore put a mezuzah the whole year even when it's not chayiv mezuzah. Because Rabbi Yehuda says there would be other chambers that in that bracket as well. However, Rabbi Yehuda holds there's a separate reason why the Lishkas HaParhedrin needs to have a mezuzah there all the time. Not only the 7 days. The 7 days that is there needs a mezuzah because the people, somebody's living there. The rest of the year also needs a mezuzah as a side gezeira, which we don't yet know what it is. And that's the machleikus. That means now, according to Abaye, there's no machleikus, Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda, whether you need to put a mezuzah on the Lishkas HaParhedrin and whether it has to stay there the whole year. They both agree that the 7 days that the Kohen is there is a chiyuv min HaTorah. And they both agree you need to keep the mezuzah there the whole year, even though it's not being dwelled in. The Chachomim say it's a gezeira because otherwise you might forget to put it there when you are there. And Rabbi Yehuda says there's a different gezeira, which we haven't yet seen. Omalei Rava. Rav is now asking a question against Abaye. V'asukas achag b'chag, regarding sukkah, uktoniyam, we learned in the Brisa that the Chachomim said that you're potter from mezuzah. It was only Rabbi Yehuda who says you're chayiv b'mezuzah. In the same way as according to the Chachomim, any place that you live some of the year needs a mezuzah the whole year, lest you forget to put the mezuzah when you're going to use it, then on sukkahs also. Then even though you're only there for a week, you should need to have a mezuzah the whole week, the whole year, in order to make sure that when you're there, you have a mezuzah. Elo Marova, Rava has a third, another explanation to Machlekes, the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda. Everybody agrees that when the Kohen wasn't there, you do not need a mezuzah. Ki pligi, when are they arguing? B'shiva. Those 7 days that the Kohen is there, that was the machleikus. And v'sukkah time aluchud. There was a machleikus we saw whether sukkah is chayav mezuzah or not. That's going to be, and we saw according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's a chiyuv mezuzah, according to the Chachomim, there isn't. That's going to be an independent machlokes regarding sukkah, which we'll see in a moment. V'lishka tam alachud, and there's going to be a separate reasoning behind the machlokes, whether the lishkas HaParhedrin is chayiv mezuzah during those 7 days or not. Sukkah tam alachud. What's the reasoning behind the machlokes whether sukkah needs a mezuzah? Rabbi Yehuda letamei. Rabbi Yehuda is following his own opinion, the Omar, sukkah diras kvabo inon. Rabbi Yehuda says that sukkah is not a temporary abode. It's true that minatoyri you only need to be there for 7 days, but it's a structure, or it's a type of dwelling which is a fixed and secure dwelling, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda says, even if a sukkah is higher than 20 amas, it's kosher. Umechayiv b'mezuzah, yuchayiv b'mezuzah. V'rabbonon letamai, and the Rabbonon, following their own opinion, the Omri sukkah diras arai b'inon. They say that a sukkah, the type of dwelling, even during those 7 days, is a temporary type of dwelling, and therefore the sukkah is exempt. V'lemechayiv b'mezuzah is exempt from mezuzah. V'lishka, regarding the lishka saparhedrin, there's a different machlekes, time aluchud. Rabbonon sovra, dira bal korcho shmo dira. Rabbonon say that for those 7 days, the Kohen didn't necessarily choose to go there. He was forced to go there. So the question is, a dwelling which is done by force, is it called a dwelling? Rabbi the Chachomim say it is. If it is, you're there for 7 days, you need to put a mezuzah. Rabbi Yehuda says no. He says that dira bal korcho lo yishmo dira. Since he's there by force, so to speak, it wouldn't be his first choice. It's not his home. Therefore, it's not considered a dira. And therefore, as far as Hilchas Mezuzah is concerned, you'd be potter. And that's why in all the other chambers that also had dwelling, they were potter. There's a new gezeira, and this is the gezeira we've been talking about all along. In order that people shouldn't say that the Kohen Gadol is locked in a jail cell for 7 days, chas v'shalom. So in order that it should feel like a home, he's not being locked up and locked away. He's just moving into a new home for 7 days. What's going to give it the feeling of a home? The mezuzah. And therefore, put a mezuzah on the Lishkas HaParhedrin, just that people shouldn't chas v'shalom think the Kohen Gadol is being confined. Continues the Gemara. Man tana lahadu tana rabbanon. Who's the author of the following brisa? Kol ha-sha'orim, all the gates that there were in the Beis HaMikdosh, the Azorah, on the Mizrach of the Azorah, there were a number of openings on the east. Shehoyu sham, lo yehoyu le mezuzah. none of the doors had a mezuzah. Chutz mishar nikonor, besides for those big main doors in the middle called shar nikonor, which nikonor was the name of the person who helped bring these doors. We don't need to discuss that now, but only the main doors into the Azara, they had a mezuzah. Why? Shelifnim mimenu lishkas parhedrin. Because inside the Azara was the lishkas haparhedrin, and the lishkas haparhedrin needed a mezuzah. And since it needed a mezuzah, you put a mezuzah on the outside, onto the gate, the opening, leading into the Azara, in which the lishkas haparhedrin was found. And we know that whenever there's homes, even though the homes have a mezuzah, the entranceway leading into a town, into a city, into an area where there are homes, that entranceway also needs mezuzahs. So here also, the Braisa says that Shar Nikonor had a mezuzah because the Lishkas HaParhedrin was in it. So the Gemara is asking, which of the two opinions between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachomim would be the author of this Braisa? Leimer Rabbonon hi v'loy Rabbi Yehuda. Could it be that it's only according to the Rabbonon, not Rabbi Yehuda? Why? Because according to Rabbonon, why did the Lishkas HaParhedrin need a mezuzah? Because it was a dira that was dwelling there. So if it's a dira, if it in Hilchas Mezuzah, the Lishkas HaParhedrin needed a mezuzah, so too the gateway, the Shaar Nikonor leading into the Azara, where the Lishkas HaParhedrin was, also needs a mezuzah. Dear Rabbi Yehuda, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, why did the Lishkas HaParhedrin itself have a mezuzah? Not because in Hilchas Mezuzah it needs a mezuzah. It's a higuf gzeira. It's just a gzeira that people shouldn't think that the Kohen is in a prison. We're going to take that decree even further and say, also put a mezuzah on the entranceway into the Azara for that reason. It wouldn't make sense. Says the Gemara, no. Afilu teimer Rabbi Yehuda. It could even be following Rabbi Yehuda. And it's not a typical gezeira le gezeira where you make one decree, so to speak, to protect and to uphold a different decree. No. Kula chod gezeira. It's one gezeira. Do whatever you can to make sure that the Lishkas HaParhedrin is perceived as being a home, not a cell. And the way to do that is by having a mezuzah both on the Shaar Nikonor and on the Lishka HaParhedrin itself, and therefore it's considered a single gezeira. And even according to Rabbi Yehuda, we would understand why the Shaar Nikonor has a mezuzah. Now, the Vilna Gaon here says that it's not Shaar Nikonor, it's Shaar HaMayim. The Shaar HaMayim was bichlal on the Dorim of the of the Azara, and that's something which we're going to discuss later on in Mirtz Hashem on Daf Yotes. Mirtz Hashem, in the next shir, we'll continue from here.